Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome on in Hump Day Wednesday, February 4th, 2026 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Trucker Randy Bishop, Patriot Voice Radio Network. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Text line is open, 231-360-5140. If you'd like to get a comment into the show, please do so. Also, if you've never texted me before, please do so. Tell me where you're listening to 97.7 FM WCHY. Greatly appreciate you. I just need your first name and the city that you're listening to the radio station. Greatly appreciate that. Well, before midnight last night, the race was called for both the Democrat and the Republican that have been picked by the people of the 35th Senate District to represent them in Lansing. The folks there in Bay, Saginaw, and Midland counties have been without a state senator for over a year, and they're not going to get one until the May 5th runoff election takes place. Democrat Chedrick Green, the Saginaw County fire captain, and Republican Saginaw attorney Jason Tooney won their respective primaries last night in the 35th State Senate District, covering the very competitive Tri-City County area, and will advance to the May 5th special general election. With some of Saginaw and Midland precincts still outstanding, Chedrick Green, the fire captain, won 60% of the vote in a six-candidate field. Basically, it was between him and the very progressive State Board of Education President Pamela Pugh. Pugh finished with just 28% of the vote. The remaining 12% were spread out over the other four candidates. Pugh won half of the city of Saginaw and only two of three Bona Vista precincts. But Green still beat Pugh in Saginaw County, countywide, and then completely blew her out in Midland and Bay counties to nail down the victory. On the Republican side, the attorney, Jason Tooney, defeated former Dow executive Christian Velasquez 51-43. Two other candidates combined for only 7% of the vote. Tooney won his home county of Saginaw by 2,195 votes. Velasquez beat Tooney by 1,448 votes in Midland. The difference was in Bay, where Tooney beat the Velasquez challenger by 751 votes. Well, former party chair Ronna Romney McDaniel, she's the CEO of the Michigan Forward Network congratulated Tooney last night, noting and mentioning that, of course, they endorsed him. Tooney says, now it's time to come together and win on May 5th. If elected, I will go to Lansing focused on public safety, stronger schools, lower taxes, and cutting back the regulations that make it harder to live and work in Michigan. Well, yesterday's primaries for the special Senate election to replace now Congresswoman Kristen McDonald-Rivett from Bay City, she left her seat at the end of 2024. The governor called the special elections 238 days after she vacated it to join Congress. This represents the longest time period a Michigan governor has taken to declare a special election for a vacant legislative seat since the advent of the state's full-time legislature in 1963. So congratulations to Jason Tooney. Now it's time to knock on doors, make phone calls, and put up signs. Let's see if we can win that seat. Dr. Jeff in the house in the next segment. Text me your questions. We'll be right back.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress. This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing: people, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
Gun owners in Northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment on this Hump Day Wednesday. Joining us on the line right now is Dr. Jeff up at Sioux Animal Hospital in Sioux St. Marie. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, this cold weather, I've gotten two text messages already this morning. How does it affect dogs and even their metabolism? If a house dog, both of these are, they said, they stay inside, but they let them outside to go to the bathroom. Should they be increasing their food? Should they be maintaining about the same? The one guy says his dog appears to have been gaining weight, obviously not running around in the summertime. But how does the weather affect animals, and what should we do about their diet? It's basically their questions.
Well, it depends on how much they stay outside. If they're basically going outside, going to the bathroom, or coming back in, you really don't need to change the diet at all. Excuse me. But if they're staying outside more, or if they're an outdoor dog, then you need to start bumping your calories up to about 25% as well. It takes more. They have to burn more energy. So what's called your basal metabolic rate, and this is your idle. This is how much energy you burn sitting there watching TV or just to exist, okay? And
okay.
When it's cold and your energy needs go up, because now, us being warm-blooded animals, we have to burn more energy to generate the heat to stay warm like that. So, and then actually, also when it gets really hot, we have to burn more energy too to try to cool down. So, kind of a parabola graph there. So,
yeah, kind of an oxymoron, if you will. One of the things that I think people are always concerned about is because of the cold and because of the wind. Mr. Snoop, our dog, our buddy, he's short haired. He doesn't have a lot of hair. So I got him a little zip on coat and a little hat, actually so cute. because we're in open space, we don't have any trees, directly around us. And to get that wind break, it's actually wind that is actually more brutal on the animals than just the bare coldness. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, yeah. It's just like us when you're looking at a wind chill, where they'll go like, hey, the temperature outside is, zero. But with the wind chill, it's, negative 40. And that's what happens as that wind blows through there. It carries that heat away from you. So, which is why you blow on soup or you would, or a coffee or whatever, a hot drink to cool it off. Same principle, just at a much larger scale. So, and then also with water getting wet. So as long as the animals, this also especially goes for our livestock that are outside, horses, cattle and things like that. As long as they can stay dry and they can stay out of the wind, have some kind of windbreak and a forest or woods counts, that, it's got to get really like real temperature of negative 30, negative 40 for me to start concerning about them. That's the same reason deer, just like that, when they go, all the deer, like all my deer are like gone. Oof. They're just, I ain't seen nobody. I got one rabbit. I've got two snowshoe rabbits that I keep seeing regularly on my trail cameras. So,
Wow.
Yep. But other than that, all the deer are gone because they've all moved into the deer yards like they do up here, which are the cedar swamps. And honestly, my deer yard for my property is maybe a quarter mile away from my trail cameras. And yeah, they won't even come that far. And that's because they get into the yards, there's more food, cedar and stuff like that. But it's warmer. It can be up to 20 to 30 degrees warmer in a deer yard than it is, in the rest of the woods. And the deer figured that out a long time ago, and that's where they're all holed up right now.
Now, that's really interesting because last night, I don't know if they were having a deer convention or what the heck was going on, but we ended up counting, Vicky and I, on the two windows, one on the side, one on the back of the house, We had 12 deer in our backyard last night.
Yep.
Mr. Snoop was going crazy. Why is it that they would be traveling in packs like that?
Well, they herd up this time of year. The bucks aren't, nobody's in rut, nobody's in heat, so there's no reason for them to fight. And so, yeah, they do, you know, will herd up. Now, typically, this probably was what, all does is probably what you saw, right?
Yeah.
Does typically move in herds. Bucks will start to form until they're, about a year-ish or so, they'll hang with the doe herd. And then at about that time, the doe herd kind of, okay, you're out of here, you know.
Yeah.
and then what they'll do, you'll actually start to get groups of bachelor bucks during the summer. It would be the one-year-old, two-year-old, one-and-a-half-year-old bucks. And they'll hang around together until you get into the fall, you know, October-ish like that, when the rut starts happening. And then they'll break up too. So, but yeah, that's why they like to do that. Play safety in numbers. There's more eyes watching for, if you look at them, you will almost never see all the deer with their heads down at the same time for a long period of time. Mm-hmm. There's always one or two on guard. And if you ever have a flock of geese, the cobra chickens, the Canadian geese, I always call them cobra chickens. What's the most dangerous animal in Michigan? Canadian goose. Ain't the bear.
Right, you know? Right.
You're watching, look, they'll all be eating, but you'll have two or three of them are on sentry duty.
They'll
have their heads up, they're looking around, they'll switch. And then they'll, after a while, then one, you know, somebody else will raise their head and they'll, okay, my turn. I can put my head down and eat now too. Horses will do this too. They'll have one or two, especially if you start looking at the feral Mustangs out west.
Sure.
You know, they will herd like that. And it's just more eyes. That's why they like traveling together, protection from predators.
Gotcha. Well, one thing that I did want to ask you about specifically, the training that you're going through to get certified, board certified, are you actively looking for cases, or are you basically have already researched your cases and then needing the right papers on them? How does that process work?
Well, I need to turn in. I got my I did get paired with a mentor, so I got somebody that can kind of help me guide through this, although it's kind of a little funny because he's only been out like 10 years and he's like, how long have you been practicing? I go, 31. He's like, oh wow, okay. So I've got, so let me count my list. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got 6 on my list right now. I need at least 10, and I like to have 15 to try to suss through, you know, what you know, so you find some good, because not everyone they'll accept. I mean, yeah, we don't want that one, don't want that one.
Okay, so basically you have enough to select from.
Yeah, yep.
Now, in that process, are you having to sit down and write up from A to Z the entire case, or are you just giving, here's the diagnosis of the case, and then here's what the result was? How does that process work?
Well, what you do is you go in, and when you're writing a case summary, usually you have like the abstract, or I call it the commander's executive brief, you know, right up top, kind of tells you, okay, this is what I saw, this is what I did, and this is what I diagnosed, and this is how I treated it. And then you expand into it, and then you need to walk them, because they want to make sure that you know what you're doing, okay? And obviously they're not here watching me do it, so I have to write it, okay, they came in, this was the complaint, this is what the owner said, this is the history, this is my physical exam, this is what I found. Then I go, here I'll walk you through. This is how we make a diagnosis. So y'all come in, you tell us, okay, why are you here? All right, you know, he's throwing up or whatever. So we'll go for that. We'll ask you a bunch of questions. And then usually after I'm even done asking my questions, before I've even touched the animal, sometimes I can pretty much, I already have a list in my head of called rule outs or differential diagnosis. Okay, what could it be? And then I'll go ahead and start looking at the animal and do an exam. And I go, okay. And then going through the exam, I can now start crossing off potential diagnoses. Okay, well, you know, okay, I know it's not this based on physical. I know it's not this one. I know it's not this one. Now I'll wind up with a pared down list of differentials. Then we decide, okay, what kind of, now I go to the second level, or actually the third level of the exam, because the history is always the first level. So history, get my hands on the animal, and then, okay, what tests are we going to do? And then with those tests, then can either get me, I can pare my numbers down, my list. I can scratch a lot of stuff off my list. And now I look and see what's, you know, okay, who do I have left here? What's left? And then sometimes you can run more confirmatory tests and things like that. It's like playing Clue. I mean, I don't know, you know, it's honestly is what it is. And the weird thing is, because like you know, I said before, I've used to work a lot with police, and I was a sheriff's deputy on the dive team, but down in Calhoun County. Honestly, criminal, it's like investigating a crime. I mean, really, wow. It is, because you start with your list of, and that's exactly how, because I got, you know, brother-in-laws and things like that that are detectives. Or she's retired now, but detective. I remember talking to him. I'm like, dude, this is literally the same thing I do. It's just instead of looking at different persons of interest, I have different diseases of interest. And then I can start, I start from my big list, and then you start, what they call it, deductive reasoning.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
And narrowing it down. Yeah.
Narrowing
absolutely.
It down. Yep.
Too cool. So this has all got to be documented. And in the end, yep. Explain to the audience real quick, what will you end up with?
So what I'll do is I'll get a recognition. It's called a board specialty. So at that point, I can say I am a specialist. It's just, it's another certification that just, I don't really want to call it assurance of quality, but it's that I have shown my ability to do diagnosis and to take more advanced cases and things like that, which all my clients know we do it because I do it all the time. But sure. Now we're getting it to where you are showing that, you know, to anybody can look it up and go, okay, he has held himself to a higher standard of
practice. Too cool. Well, listen, I'm going to give out the phone number to the Sioux Animal Hospital. They're located at 2867 Ashmont Street in Sault Ste. Marie, basically M129. And the phone number, put this in your phone, folks, 906-635-5910. And also, if you'd like a second opinion, you'd like to be able to send files or whatever, you can email it or have your vet, your current vet that you're visiting with, email them at info@SiouxAnimalHospital.com. Sioux is spelled out S-A-U-L-T, AnimalHospital.com. Do you have final thoughts, brother, before we let you go? Anything folks should be doing or looking out on the radar for this week?
Just stay warm. I-500 week here in the UP, so if you're out of the trails, you know, stay safe. So, and just FYI, if you do get a ticket or a speeding ticket, which you can, or running a stop sign on your snowmobile, it does go on your license. Not personal. My kid did last year, even after I told him, like, dude, you know, DNR is out, so, you know, don't drive, you know,
crazy,
like a dingbat. Yeah. Well, 18-year-old kid, guess what? You got a ticket. I'm like, well, there you go. Guess
and
you learned.
On the driving record as well.
Yep. That's where you couldn't believe it, but I wasn't. I'm like, hey, they do that.
All right, sir. Very cool. Again, the phone number 906-635-5910. If you have any questions, give Jeff a call. Thank you, Jeff. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week. Bye.